Ecclesiastes 11, 12 through 12, 14 is our study for today. First verse that we have today is rejoice, young man, while you're young. Let your heart cheer yourself in the days of your youth. Follow the inclination of your heart and the desires of your eyes. What do you get out of that? It's okay to, as a young person, to just go out and do whatever you want. Let's look at the second half of that verse. But know that for all these things that you do, God will bring you into judgment. So if you plan on, as a young person, to do evil, or are susceptible to the devil's wiles, what does this tell you? Not going to get away with it, are you? God is going to set in judgment. And he's going to record all of your deeds. So our first question this morning in our study is, when is the best time to begin serving God? Who can answer that? When's the best time in your life to begin serving God? Solomon's book, this Ecclesiastes, tells young people to enjoy being young while they can, for they're soon going to be old. He also tells young people that they have choices laid out before them. They can do what they want. They have a free will. And this includes all of us. It doesn't include just the young people. We old people have gone through this phase in our life. And we had choices the same as anybody else has. And the young people are going to face these choices in the future. They can do what they want. But also, they can follow God's commandments. But as this verse in chapter 11 says, God will hold everyone accountable and responsible for their way of life. So while you're young, you can obey God and enjoy it. Enjoy life. Yes, you have some responsibilities there that you're going to have to face and make choices. Yes, Margaret. Well, most people do, but there's a lot of us that don't. You don't know from one day to the next, do you? Well, God's not promised us past today, has he? And so, many young people don't reach maturity, don't reach older age, but they need to plan on it, don't they? They need to plan on it and be sure. And Solomon also tells us here that don't worry about it. What do we read in Matthew, the sixth chapter? Where Jesus is talking, and he talks about not worrying. Who would like to read that? Matthew 6, 25 through 34, I believe.
This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds. birds in the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers feel. They don't labor or spin thread. How far?
Yeah.
Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass in the field, which is here today, and throw into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, a little faith? So don't worry, saying what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear. For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be granted to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble.
I used to worry about how tall I was going to be. If I had another 18 inches, which is another cubit, I could have played pro ball. But I need to be happy with where I'm at. So I never worried about it that much. Envious maybe a little bit from time to time. You know, of other people. I'm the shortest one in my family. Even my three sisters were taller, which really bugged me. But why worry about that if you can't do anything about it? What about, can you name some things that are going to happen to older people? We have a list of them here on our page that we handed out. Dimmed vision, trembles, loss of strength, bout bone bags, loss of teeth, cataracts, loss of hearing, easily awakened, voice lowers in pitch and volume, you're afraid of falling, fear of being hurt and traveling on the highways, airways, loss of desires and white hair. I could probably add three or four or half dozen more that Dean didn't list here. But these, I'm looking at myself here. Yeah, I mean, all of these things apply to me. My wife tells me that I'm hard of hearing, so I have hearing aids. Sometimes I'm still a little hard of hearing. I have a volume control. But that comes with age, doesn't it? Loss of teeth. I broke off three teeth flossing them, which really irritated me. So I'm still working on getting those fixed. I had cataract surgery. So these are things that come along as you age and become more pronounced. So this is all the wonderful things that these young people can look forward to. But eventually, death overtakes us, doesn't it? God tells us that what's your life but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then fades away. Talks about the grass that grows and the warm sun beats down on it, and the wind blows it away, and they use it for a fire. It's just about how long that it takes for our lives to go through this process. What is it that Solomon says in this study about young people, just in general? Can anybody give us Any idea? How about some of the young people? How are you feeling about that? Do these words hit home? They should make you feel vulnerable. But the Lord says to enjoy yourself. And this is Solomon speaking, yeah. But enjoy yourself while your years are young. Don't worry about tomorrow, what things may come. Just enjoy what you have. Solomon also said, well, Jesus said in Matthew 6, now, don't worry about what kind of clothes you're going to wear. Does God take care of the birds of the air? They don't reap, they don't sow, and yet God clothed them. And how much more of value are we than the birds of the air? Even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like the lily of the field. So God is going to take care of us. Ted, did you have a question?
Yeah, comment? I was just going to say, what we're reading here is don't worry. That doesn't mean don't plan. That doesn't mean don't look into the future. But it does mean trust God with you. It would be silly for the Lord to say not plan, because we read in other places where he says, what can you even sit down and not plan for a war? Or plan before you go to power. Of course you're going to plan. But that doesn't mean you need to worry about it. That means you need to trust in God that he's going to provide what you need. But, of course, everybody thinks they're going to live in a day. So plan for it. But right. Just be prepared.
Yeah, and, you know, as you face life, troubles come up. Good times come, bad times come. But you needn't have any worry about it as long as you follow God's will. And so that's right. Ted is currently, or is sure right in what he's saying, is that you don't worry. But you remember the Creator in your days of your youth. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, we're being reminded once again that, you know, to remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the troubles come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in you. I used to wade through hip deep snow to cast my line in the river for steelhead or salmon. I couldn't wait to get out there and freeze to death. And I had a Volkswagen Bug then, and they didn't heat very well, and so I would stop and crawl through the snow and get back in the Volkswagen and try to warm it up. It took about an hour to warm up and get my feet unfrozen and my hands cleared up of frostbite. But I couldn't hardly wait to do that. Sounds pretty dumb now when I look back on it, but I have no desire to do that stuff now. I couldn't wait to the dawn to get up, to get out there before the crack of dawn and fish. I even sold my boat last month, and I've been looking for a boat like this for a long time. And I finally bought it a couple of years ago. But I just quit using it. I didn't need it. I just didn't have that pleasure, that excitement that I had before. And so I sold it. And I just don't, you know, I'm going to have a garage sale, and I've got 50 years worth of fishing equipment I'd like to get rid of. But I just don't have that pleasure anymore. And this Solomon tells us that's what's going to happen as we get older. We're going to have loss of those pleasures. I think that if young people take a look at their life and try to do God's will during your lifetime, I think that God will bless them. I think if they ask for guidance, God's going to guide them through their life. And I think God will help them in every stage of life that they have. And there's going to be some tough times. I think we all have faced those from time to time. But I think if you ask for God's guidance and blessings, I think he will pour blessings out on you as you grow old. Solomon tells us as we grow older, as Ecclesiastes, and this is question number two. Solomon describes growing old in Ecclesiastes 12, 2 to 5. It says, list each description and its meaning. Well, we have this list that Dean has provided for us. Anybody else think of anything that's not on the list? Carol?
Being more susceptible to diseases.
Yeah. Very true. Being more susceptible. Anything else?
What terrifies me is a diminished sense of taste. I won't like to eat so much.
Well, you know, your sight goes dim, yeah, cataracts, can't see much anymore. And this is described in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 2 through 5. Talks about your eyes becoming dim. You know, they didn't have eye surgeries back in those days, or glasses or wonder drugs or anything like that. So, you know, they just had to deal with it. Says, guards of the house tremble. What do you suppose he meant by that? Strong men are bent with age. Back gets bowed, don't stand up straight much anymore. Says the grinding stones are quiet. So there's little food to eat. Economic woes, wars, violence. Back in the days of Solomon, remember that there were always aggressive nations that surrounded Israel. And of course, in the days of Solomon, he had peace. But everybody was afraid of it because he had so much power. And so other nations were not too aggressive. But they have a history of attacking Israel for, you know, more land, more food, that type of thing. So there was always violence lurking in the background. You know, we have so much of it going on today. You know, everybody locks their doors and windows, fears for violence coming into their house. I haven't been downtown Eugene, and I can't remember the last 15 years, maybe. I just don't feel comfortable down there in that atmosphere. And that's unfortunate. what happens to us? What advantage do we have? Should we look forward, as Solomon says in Proverbs, we should look forward to the day of death rather than the day of birth? Why is that? Would that work for an unbeliever? What happens to them? What happens to a believer? It's a little bit different than those who don't live a righteous life, isn't it? What do they have to look forward to other than just death? Kind of unfortunate, but what's our job to do as Christians? Do what we can for them to help them avoid that ending? Solomon learned, and this is one of the things that he provided for younger people, is that he had experience, didn't he, in both good and evil. He obeyed God, but he also disobeyed God as well. And he received the blessings of the Lord whenever he did the good things. But he also was disciplined by God too, wasn't he? For the things that he did wrong. And I think that that is what's going to happen to us. God is going to bring in judgment for everything we do, whether secret or openly. He's going to bring to judgment. God gave us the ability to make our choices. He gave us a free will. So we have the choice of doing what's right and the choice of doing what's not right. We see this around us today, and it's while we try to work our way through this life and try to do what's right, at the same time we see the viciousness and the cruelty and the sinful atmosphere that goes on in our lifetime. It's sometimes pretty difficult to journey through that without getting tarnished. What was Solomon's reaction to all this? What was his final choice? Anybody? What was Solomon's conclusion? I'm sorry? Okay. Anybody? Everybody's so quiet this morning. I think you're awake. Dean, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I've been kind of in and out, so I missed. And so if I set the table, so I guess when I read Ecclesiastes, especially when I read the verses, I think there's blessings. And first thing's a bit of a warning, it's telling us. So as young people, got one longing to sit here. And I think they're on the right path. They're here and they're doing things. But enjoy your youth, but know that you're judged for you. And then as he gets, and know that this is coming. So when we look at this old guy in the pulpit up there, that other one. We know that this is coming, but it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse about living. It's not an excuse about serving. All the days that we are alive, all the days that we can, we need to be serving God and looking for ways to please God and to help others along the way. God's plan for us all along was to love God and love our neighbor.
And as we get older and we start to fade, so I have, you know, health issues, I have this, I have that. I don't have an excuse to stop serving God. Solomon says this is going to happen. But so many times we have these pity parties for ourselves. We're like, I'm the only person that's had to have a dentistry place, or I'm the only person that's lost, or I've lost so much, oh, poor me. And we weren't promised sunshine and roses. We weren't promised anything. We looked at the contrast all the way through Ecclesiastes of the rich and the poor. And I don't really believe it's the contrast of the rich prevailing and the poor suffering. I think we're seeing that both sets of people have their negatives and have their pockets. They have their pluses and their minuses. But if they're not serving God, so if our young people here are not serving God, then all this joy that comes from being young is pointless. And as we get older, all of the benefits that we have of getting older, closer to death, now that sounds morbid, but as our bodies start to fail, as we start to lose the ability to protect our home, throw in hand, whatever it is, we realize that we're one step closer to our before. And I just think that, you know, as we read Ecclesiastes, that was there is so much better if we put God first. So I hope that.
Yeah, I think you're right on. Everything you said is exactly right. Yes, Noah.
To add on, it's been interesting too. I've only been a nurse for about a year and a half, but I came in right as COVID was really rampant. And there are job listings I'm getting so frequently right now for psychiatric nursing because anxiety has gone through the roof in the younger generation. And anti-anxiety medications are being prescribed like crazy because they were shown that you're not invincible. You're not invincible when you're young. Young people were getting COVID, they were dying just like the older person. And they didn't have any answer to life. They didn't know what could help them not feel anxious. It's pretty inspiring to see older folks that I saw pass. And they honestly were pretty okay with those terms. But I took care of some younger folks too, and they were so riddled with anxiety, they just didn't have an answer. So Ecclesiastes has been a good study for me, because it is a good warning to be conscientious of what you do. You know, I like doing stupid things, but I need to be not doing stupid things. So it's a good study. It's a good warning, and there's a lot of peace in knowing that I have a relationship with God, and that I can go to Him for times when I'm anxious. But it has been an interesting time to see how divided and how separate this world is from God, how anxious it becomes. And it's just, it's so said like so many times, not be anxious. But that's
sometimes it's hard to do that, isn't it? I mean, you worry about your family, you worry about finances, perhaps, from time to time, but, you know, God is telling us basically that, you know, you don't need to worry about these things. But it also says, you know, while you're enjoying your job, do the best you possibly can at your labor. Honest labor. Just like you, if you're working for somebody else, you work just like you own the business. And do the best you possibly can. And enjoy it. So whatever life brings you, as far as the routine things that you're going to run across in life, enjoy them to the fullest. But just keep it in the back of your mind that God is also recording this. And you're going to have to answer for those things you do, not only in secret, but openly. Yes, Carol.
I just want to remind everybody that today you are younger than you will be if you have tomorrow. So if you have something that you want to do, you may take you twice as long to plan and get ready to do it. But if you're still young, you're today than you are tomorrow. So in a way, you're always young and have an opportunity to do something if you set your mind on it and get your guidance.
Dan.
One thing that has taken on the I think it's very important to stay in touch with people. You have to have them around you. You can't just exclude yourself from everything because they are the joy.
Yeah. What about some of you young people? Have you got any ideas? By the way, we get a treat today. James is going to give us our lesson this morning. So that's really great. Dean and Jim are down in Brookings. He's preaching down there today, but James is going to share his thoughts with us today. So that'll be quite a nice treat to have James speak for us today. But in all, getting back to Ecclesiastes, what is the ultimate goal that Solomon has come up with? What's the ultimate goal for mankind? What's our ultimate goal? Dean?
It's heaven. The ultimate goal is heaven. And to achieve that, it's serve God and keep his commandments. So to serve God and keep his commandments, I have to know God. I have to study. I have to dedicate my life to that end. It's not like most modalities in life where you study it for a little bit and then you master it and you don't have to think about it. You know, as a cabinet maker, I do my job almost mindlessly, where early on I had to put so much effort into. So as Christians, we don't ever get to that point. As Christians, we wake up every day and we do the best we can. We study to know God and we study to better ourselves. And if you're like me, you fail miserably on a regular basis, you kick yourself and you get back up and you try to do it again. But ultimately, the goal is heaven. And it doesn't matter if I'm rich and it doesn't matter if I'm poor and it doesn't matter if I'm young and it doesn't matter if I'm old. It's that walk, that journey that leads me to heaven that will give me reward in everything else. The amount of guns in my gun safe, or rods in my garage for fishing, or boats, or toys, or money, or whatever it is all vanity if it's not used in the right way.
Margaret, did you have a comment? Okay. Anybody else have any comments before we close our class this morning? Thank you so much. It's been a good study for me in Ecclesiastes. I think this is the last lesson we'll have in this book.